Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from all around the world, welcome to another London Media Lounge podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Steve Farker.
Oh, hello.
Steve Farker, my friend, I think it's so good to get people from our local area and chat to them. It just makes me feel festive.
Okay, yeah.
Today's no different. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Sunny Patel in the house. What's happening, Sunny?
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Sunny, why don't you tell the audience and the listeners who you are and what you do?
Okay, so I'm Sunny, and I'm a coach specializing in purpose and change. Mm-hmm. So I coach sort of professionals age kind of 30, 35 plus who might be a bit stressed, a bit burned out, a bit unfulfilled because they feel their life or their career doesn't line up with them and their values.
Right, right, right. There's a key word over there that I enjoy, burnout. Let's talk a little bit about burnout, man, because it's a real thing and I experience it. I experience it more times than I would like to. Let's dig deep into that. Let's dig deep into burnout. What is it? Why do we experience it? And what are the remedies for it?
Great question. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's very broad. Yeah. So I wouldn't do it disjustice by trying to kind of oversimplify it. Burnout can be caused by a lot of things. So trying to do too much at once obviously can cause that. For me personally, the reason I care about it so much is, yes, I understand what you're saying. I've experienced burnout several times myself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the more recent evidence shows that actually feeling out of control and out of touch and disconnected with what you're doing exacerbates burnout.
Right. So when there is so much going on in your life and you do not have the proper, I'd say the schedule, the plan to deal with it, that's when everything goes to crap.
It can be that also, but also if you're not feeling truly connected with what you're doing.
Yeah.
So 50 hours a week in something you love may not drive you to burnout as much as 50 hours a week of something you're doing just for the sake of doing it.
Right. I understand that. I absolutely agree with that, because when you're doing something you love, it's not work. Mm. You know, it's not like I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know,
you can get in the zone, can't you, after a while?
Yeah.
You lose yourself in the zone of work sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you're doing something that you love, you do not, it's not work, man. It's like, it's your life. It's your purpose. And when it's your purpose, you kind of like, doesn't matter how many hours I have to spend or things like that.
That's a key word. Yeah. I think, if you look at yourself, you've got something fantastic here.
Yeah,
I'm sure that, you know, you got into it to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's certain parts from a business perspective that we just have to do to build our business. But it doesn't feel as much like work because it's connected to what we're doing. And that's our link to our purpose.
Absolutely. But what would you say to the person that, you know, they don't, you know, they can't find their purpose in life? I mean, I'll be honest with you, right? Let me give you a quick story about Sammy. Referring to myself in the third person. That's crazy. But anyways, the story is, man, like, doing what I'm doing now, it wasn't planned. It was not planned at all. I just found myself in it and I found like purpose within it. I started loving it the more I did it. So the person that do not have the purpose, what do you tell them?
That's a brilliant question. And firstly, thanks for sharing your own perspective there, because it's very common.
Yeah.
I think we can get really attached to this kind of romantic idea that one day it's going to hit you.
Yeah.
X is what you're meant to do and you can just go down that path full speed.
Yeah.
It's often not the case. Mm. And it can take a few iterations. It can take trying different things to find out what that thing is. And also, sometimes connecting to your purpose will... even once you get the purpose clear, the way you do it will look a little bit different. So it might be you were going to be that next big singer, and you know you could see why you wanted to do it, and you wanted to uplift people with your music. For whatever reason, it didn't come to be. You had a few years of lessons. You didn't think you were going to get where you wanted to be. It's not necessarily to say you can't still find a way within music. It might be one step removed within music to support, you know, the music and artists to do that. So it's good to not get too kind of pressured by that romantic idea. Mm. As opposed to how you connect with it, it does take a lot of self-work.
Right.
And often the way to start is, if what you're doing currently doesn't light you up, or it stresses you out, or it burns you out, and it's clearly not the right thing, just be honest with yourself, because that's okay. And we can end up investing too much time and too many years into something thinking we can make it work, but just be a little bit honest with yourself.
Yeah.
What is it specifically that's not lighting you up? It's not exciting you about it anymore, and doesn't make it feel rewarding.
Right.
And then we can explore around that and get to grips with, is this about making a tweak to what you currently do, making a slight change with what you currently do, or is it actually about a redesign?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think everyone needs a purpose or a passion in their lives? I mean, say you're a road sweeper, you're just happy all day sweeping the roads. As long as you're happy and you go home and have tea and you know, watch EastEnders, that's fine. Do you need to have that drive? And I suppose it can be in some people's DNA to be able to just have a job that's stacking shelves or working in an Amazon warehouse. They're just happy.
So let's start with the road sweeper. If he's perfectly happy doing what he's doing, that's fantastic. You know, there's pride in anything done well. That could be his purpose.
Right.
It needs to be done. He's adding value.
Yeah.
He's adding significant value to the world.
Yeah.
And also, I'm a firm believer, having worked with a few people on this now, that your purpose can be multifaceted. So an example, I worked with someone recently. They were struggling with the fact they felt their purpose was to create comedy.
Right.
But it was proving hard to get where they wanted to get to, as you can imagine. And they were torn with persevering and doing something that they felt was a bit safer,
okay,
a bit more stable. And that's a slightly separate story. But what we uncovered along the way is actually a lot of the things he wanted to express about himself weren't only within his career. And so parts of his purpose, he was going to exercise within his life.
Right.
And he connected quite deeply with actually a huge part of his purpose was to be a father as well. Now, that's an ongoing thing. You know, we'll keep working on that. But connecting with the fact that his purpose was multifaceted was quite powerful. So I think, at least in some way, long answer to your to your question, I think at least in some way we need to be connected to our purpose.
Yeah. And that's absolutely powerful there, because in order to do that, like you said, you have to be in touch with, you need to understand what makes you tick as a person, as a human being. Everybody's different, right?
Absolutely.
So you need to go deep and be like, okay, who am I? What am I? Because I try to align my purpose with my moral compass, my beliefs, my culture, a little bit my religion. So everything, who I am as a person, the mental health aspect of it, like exactly why I really wanted to have a conversation with you, is because purpose and burnout and career, you know, we spend most of our time at work, right? And if that's not good and that's affecting your mental health, bro, then you're killing yourself. You die in a slow death and it's not good, because there's a lot of aspects of it. And I don't know like how much you go deep into the conversation of self, knowing yourself with your clients. So I guess the question is like, give us an example of how you would enter the conversation with the client. So if you could give us like a small example, like if you can disclose, obviously without giving names and stuff like that, but I really want to know, like, how deep do you go with the client?
Good question. It starts with what doesn't feel right now. Where are things out of alignment now? Then it's important to understand what's the overall effect of this. You
know, right.
You mentioned mental health there, which is I'm very, very passionate about. I've suffered with my mental health too. You've got to be safe and sure and ensure that this is coachable.
Right.
Because if this is something that has taken someone's mental health to a particular point, it might be that therapy is what they really need
medical help.
No ethical coach will be saying, okay, let's just carry on.
Saying, let's find more help from different.
At least help you find something more suitable.
Right.
So once you get to that point, you know, as long as it's safe, if it's about something you can work with, then it's about what didn't light you up, what specifically was missing, and it's about knowing the right kinds of questions to ask to kind of draw that out.
Right.
I was going to ask you about your experience as a teacher, because I know you started off your career, did 4 years in secondary school, and there's definitely some work to do, I think, with careers teaching and helping kids trying to find their initial purpose, not their final purpose, perhaps, but I know when I was leaving school, we had this fairly simple computer where you typed in your exam results and then what you wanted to do. And I think for me, it came out as archaeologist.
Wow.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So it wasn't very accurate. But is there more work we can do from school age, do you think, to help people find their initial purpose or their initial track? Because I think a lot of people, even at 16, 17, have no idea what they want to do in their life. And schools seem to be teaching more just to pass exams rather than teaching real life ways, you know, to get into work and whatever. Is there more we can do there, do you think?
Yeah, fantastic question. And for me, it really resonates. So when I got into teaching, essentially, it wasn't quite in the beginning of my career. It was early on. I'd done some sort of management / coaching work in the corporate world. So there was something that was pulling inside of me about developing others. That took, and when I was coaching people on the job, a couple of people suggested, I could see you as a teacher. First couple of times I laughed a lot. Then it's, you know, the seed was planted, and after a while, it felt like that was going to be where I was going to, you know, connect with my purpose. So I went into secondary school, secondary education, got qualified, taught for 4 years. And the moments when you're at the front of the room and you're actually teaching and you're dealing with your class and you're interacting with your students and you're having to deal with the students who are pushing you a little bit, were all fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything around the admin, the bureaucracy, the stuff that was set in stone by other people was just awful. And I genuinely felt within a year, I'd probably say, even though I ignored it at first, that I wasn't developing people because I wasn't developing the whole student.
Right.
I wasn't stretching anybody enough. And it didn't feel like nurturing and developing of people. It did feel like kind of, yes, teaching people to pass exams, which is a skill, but it's only one of the many skills you can acquire.
Right.
But also, everything was so binary. You know, I really felt that the overall experience, and we've got lots of work to do in response to your question, the overall experience was doing too much to tell these young people that it's about working as hard as you can to get the best grades on these pieces of paper at the end, then maybe college, university, get the best job you can, and if you work hard, you'll get promoted, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And that template is wrong for many people.
Yeah, because you create in a workforce, just workers, factory workers. I had. Sorry to interrupt your point.
No.
I had a professor here from King's College, Dr. Tamer Shaheen, and he told me that we are following the same educational system that we developed in the Industrial Revolution.
Yep.
It's like this. That's not us today. So it might work for certain people. You know, like Steve said, the Amazon people, the 9-to-5 guys, but what about the other minds? What about the other character types?
Yeah, and that's a great point because a lot of what we do is a bit of a hangover from the Industrial Revolution because we started to take over from machines.
Yeah.
So in certain ways, we started to treat ourselves like machines, which obviously we're not. And so that, you know, that also has some links back to burnout and stuff as well. But yeah, for me, we're not doing enough to develop the whole child. It's too easy to raise them to be, minions.
Yeah, minions, do the work, do the job. So what is the remedy that people, that the schools are not, you know, they're not paying attention to it? It's like there's so many different character types. And I feel like teachers should really have real life coaching experiences to go teach. You can't be going to teach because you don't have nothing to do, man.
You know, you made a point there about people getting into teaching. So it's a strange one because I guarantee you, almost all the teachers I met had initially gotten into it because of some feel of calling, some genuine, you know, this feel of calling. So that's obviously a lovely thing, but it turns into a bit of a beautiful con because the idea is we don't pay that well for teachers. And honestly, the teacher training is not particularly fantastic. And ongoing development for teachers, if they start to struggle, is not particularly fantastic. So we're not going to bring them in for those kinds of reasons, for the benefits and the attractions and the perks.
Right.
We're going to bring them in because there's that beautiful sense of a calling inside. Yeah. I kind of feel they get exploited for that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you know, we'll always find teachers because there'll always be a calling.
Yeah.
So maybe we don't need to offer them much else.
Right.
And then eventually that person will... things will start to erode.
Yeah. You know,
when I left teaching, a few of my mates and colleagues said to me something along the lines of, I'm envious of you. I would do the same, but I don't know what else to do.
Right.
And that was kind of devastating.
Yeah. And then when you say you had your calling, right? Was your calling enough to make you qualified to handle a classroom of the next generation? So I'm not trying to be rude here, but yeah, I have callings to be an MMA fighter. Mm. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean I'm going to throw myself in a cage. You feel me?
Yeah.
So like, is the calling enough? Would you say that the calling is enough? Would you need obviously to couple that with some training?
Well, we all need to be realistic.
Mm.
If the calling is something you genuinely feel very connected to,
mm-hmm.
and you can see a way that you can go and connect with it,
yeah,
and it would make you happy, that's fantastic. But again, sometimes it might need to be one step removed.
Yeah.
If if your dream is heavyweight champion of the world, and you top out at 5'1",
yeah,
maybe just drop down a couple of weights.
Yeah, exactly. Be the flyweight champ. There's nothing wrong with that. You're still a badass.
And just start your own category.
You know what I mean?
And some of these things
yeah.
end up being beautiful stories on their own. I mean, there's this film I can't remember. I think something along the lines of 6 Feet from Stardom.
Mm.
And it's about people who got into music, and whether it's that they didn't want to be the person at the very front getting all the attention, or whether it's just that, you know, after all the vocal work they did, they didn't get there. It's about the fact that they became the backup singers and the other people,
yes.
the people behind the people who are still so important to the bigger thing.
Yeah.
Going back to mentors for a second, I think when you leave school, there's a gap there. Obviously, the government are now saying you're supposed to be in education until you're 18, whatever you do. But I think a lot of people then sort of fall off a cliff. They leave school and they've suddenly got no body to mentor them or aspire to. Mm. They're a little bit lost then. Mm. Do you think there should be more of a, not a government perhaps, but a better plan to help people beyond leaving school?
Yeah.
With mentors and finding some aspirational people to look up to.
Yeah, tough one. I do think there should be.
Yeah.
I think without wanting to be disrespectful, the minute anything becomes mandated by the government,
yeah.
there's a very strong chance it will become a tick box exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think if they can find a way to put something together that, you know, at least offers something sensible and holistic,
right,
that would be great. And then until then, I think we have to find something.
Yeah. So individually, you would tell these, okay, let's say you go for a talk in a school, you would tell the kids, yo, listen, the minute you finish here college, it's not over in terms of like personal development. Like you have to reach out to people, tell them, hey, I'm not trying to waste time. You know, I really want to get it right from the get go. You won't, but at least you'll try. At least you will have a better chance. So reach out to people, right? Reach out to people on LinkedIn, for example. Be like, hey, man, you do something very interesting to me. I would love to shadow you one day. I'd love to chat to you. And stuff like that, right?
And accept that you might not be paid. And there's a little bit of a funny one there, isn't there? Yeah. Because companies get a bad rep for taking interns, especially in America, and not paying them. But actually, if you're 18 and want to get some experience and a few different jobs, that's an easy way to do that. Just work a few weeks in an agency, work a few weeks as a dustman, find out I don't want to do that. That's an easy way, isn't it? But yeah, the companies get a bad rep because they don't pay. There are schemes, obviously, that do pay a small amount for experience and things, and they move you up the ladder.
But the scope there, I mean, that's something that we can reframe.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to say, oh, you're not getting paid. But are you actually?
Yes.
Because, you know, if you're taking experience and it's developing you and it's helping you to understand whether this is the thing for you, you could argue you are getting paid.
Yeah, you're getting paid time, my friend.
Experience.
You know what I mean? Because yeah, that's the most expensive currency out there, bro. It's like to tell someone, let's say you want a paid job. All right, go work for Burger King for a minute, right? Okay, you spent a whole year in Burger King and you worked full time and you made 18 grand a year. Good for you. But check this out. The other guy went to Kaplan, whatever, some financial services thing, and he did not get paid. He did not get paid, but he worked with this guy and this guy and this guy. And now 1 year later, He has 1 year experience. And guess what? He's got a lot of connections in his phone book. He can call people. He can tell them, yo, I literally finished this one year experience. Here's my references. I was able to engage in this project and this is my responsibility, blah, blah, blah. Can I get that job? And guess what? Next year, this guy's got a, I don't know, 28 grand a year job for his graduate job. And then you carry on with 18 grand in Burger King. So sacrifice is key, man. My dad used to tell me that. He used to tell me, yo, listen, you're not gonna do anything without sacrifice. Mm. You're not gonna be special without sacrifice. You have to sacrifice something. You have to suffer a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But going back to what you said about doing it for free, just the fact that you're willing to do it for free is also a really good way to connect with whether or not you really want to do something.
Yes.
And you know, uncovering your values can take a lifetime, and your values do also change a bit over time. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's so telling. If you're willing to do something for free and give up a little something to do it, it's very telling.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's about priorities, isn't it, as well? We can all get up an hour earlier every day. Say you wanted to do a Open University course for a year. I haven't got time. But actually, if you don't watch TV for an hour a day, if you get up earlier, an hour earlier a day, you can make time. It's about those priorities and being, you know, right, I'm going to do it, whatever.
Yeah. And there's sacrifice there. You sacrifice that 1 hour of pleasure watching TV for something that is considered suffering, because you're going against what you want to do, in a sense, right? In a sense, you're like, okay, there's pleasure here, but there's hard work here. So this pleasure and suffering, that's one thing I live my life by, is like, I have to do things that are uncomfortable for me to get where I want to get. So I would not have been able to chat to you right here, Sonny, if I did not challenge myself to invite the first guest and the second guest and the third and the fourth, because I didn't have the confidence to talk to people. But because I pushed myself to those uncomfortable situations, now this is really nice for me. It brings me opportunities. I meet great people. I chat to Steve even more. We plan stuff, and it's amazing. Mm. So, you know, pushing yourself towards that, you know, uncomfortable situation, the right one, yeah. Don't you know, just be careful, you know. Don't understand me wrong, you know. Think about it, you know, be objective, you know, and that's it. So let's bring it back to how we started, the professionals, the people that you actually help.
Okay,
so these people, what are their major issues? What's the repetitive thing? Because I'm trying to give the listeners today like something to take away from you. And because I'm telling you, bro, you know this, everybody's suffering from burnout. Everybody. There's not a person in this world that you would not see a burnout pattern in their life, unless they're special, unless they got it right, you know, unless they got it right. But all of us, the average guys, you know what I mean? This burnout reoccurring every 3 or 4 months or something like that. So what are the, you know, what triggers them? Yeah. And also, like, what can you tell us to kind of like help us deal with it and actually come back and stand back on our feet?
I think there's a few things. The idea of experiencing burnout over and over, it's not the end of the world if you beat burnout or depression or general anxiety disorder or anything else and it starts to sneak back.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world, because the data shows that it's not about, some people are perfectly fine and some people are mentally ill. The evidence is that we're all somewhere in the middle.
Right.
And it will move.
Okay.
So it can be very, very healthy to actually understand that you might have to do bits of work throughout your life to keep on top of these things. What I would say is the thing that finally pushed me into coaching is I've suffered with my mental health. I've suffered with general anxiety disorder. I've suffered with depression. I've done a lot of the hard work to get to the root of some of the older stuff.
Right.
But the kind of gift of being thrown backwards a few times was that I was able to kind of reverse engineer and say, well, what was in common? What was going on each of these times I started to slide? And it was when I wasn't connected to what I was doing.
Right.
So kind of to summarize where I was just before I finally pushed and launched my own coaching business and went off on my own, is I'd gone from education and got into training. Sorry, I'd gone from secondary education and moved to training. And then I just got obsessed with trying to push on. I was kind of chasing the template life.
Right.
And so after 2 years as a trainer, I felt really good, very confident. I got headhunted to go and be a manager somewhere, manage training, manage courses, manage trainers. So I went and did that. I did it for 2 years in the city, one of the biggest training providers in the city. Loved it at first, but after a while, the organization was kind of holding me back a little bit. There were certain areas that they weren't going to invest in, so I didn't see how I could take us much further forwards.
Right.
Got headhunted again. I was a senior manager, huge international organization, and I was just unfulfilled.
Right.
Title was there, salary was there, and I just thought, well, is this it?
Yeah.
I was bored. Boredom started to become burnout. Burnout started to become anxiety. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, because right. I could see it seeping into my home life.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. You know, I'm a husband. I've made that commitment.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't be taking that kind of stuff home if I can avoid it.
Right.
So long story short, reverse engineering it and looking at the different times of my life where I'd started to slide back, it was about that. It was about something was going unexpressed inside.
Right.
So I had to do some work. What are my values? Why are these jobs not lighting me up? Why do these jobs feel in conflict with who I am? And then you start to find what was pushing you away, which kind of gives you your from values.
Mm-hmm.
And then the opposite of those tend to be your actual values, the values you want to work towards.
Yeah.
So I can't say that it will be the same for everybody, but what I can say is for myself and a lot of the people I work with, that's the pattern.
Right.
Ignoring that desire to get things in alignment, to get your life or your career in alignment with the real you, is ignoring that long enough, these things will be unexpressed, so they'll start to come out somewhere.
Yeah.
That tends to be the pattern.
Yeah.
Going back to what we just touched upon about, we often think we don't have time to do things. You'd be amazed how many times somebody tells me, I haven't got the time to do this, and I say, is that true? And then I just wait. And they say no.
Yeah, I'm watching too much Netflix. I see. I understand. But like you said, yeah, things. Expression? Things left to themselves can only get worse. You know, if you ignore something long enough. But yeah, I guess there is some sort of a model that you're following. It's like,
of course. Yeah.
Well, okay, this is where I'm at, and then what's not making me? Why am I feeling like this? And then automatically, that means you got to steady yourself, know your values, your morals and whatnot, and try and connect your career with them and keep going.
Amazing.
You're not stopping.
Yeah. And it's not always about throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's not always that Hollywood idea of, you know, just walking away from everything again.
Yeah, it would have been so awesome if that's the case. Everybody will be just camera crew following them, you know what I mean?
So, I mean, I spoke to someone recently, they were in a really bad place and they were very unhappy at home. And when we started to uncover that, they were unhappy with parts of themselves. And then when we started to uncover that, really they were unhappy with the fact that they'd let their career for 15 years stay exactly where it was, but they were fantastic. You know, they'd acquired so many skills, they knew what they were doing, they were an expert in their field, but they had allowed their career for 15 years just to carry on exactly as it was.
Wow.
So essentially, they were unhappy about the fact that their status, their salary, their skill set, you know, their development wasn't where it should be and hadn't taken them where it should be.
Right.
And it came down to the fact that they hadn't asked for anything more.
They were, you know, they settled.
Yeah. And we also uncovered that they had a bit of a desire to express another element of themselves, which was this kind of, just this hands-on element to make stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So a conversation with their boss led to a tweaked role and some increased salary and, you know, more responsibility. And then that increased money is going to allow them to pursue their side hustle, which is going to be about building stuff and selling that stuff.
That's beautiful. You got to take action. I feel like there is a pattern in there's a theme in what you're saying. Is like, take action as soon as you can take action. Like you said, not Hollywood style, throw every paper and be like, get out of here, man. No, you're not going to do that, because that's going to ruin the transition, because there's a transitionary period you got to accept. There's going to be a transitionary period. So
absolutely,
it's great. Yeah, let's deal with it now, but expect the transitionary period. But like you said, take action now. I see it in a lot of my friends, you know. A lot of my friends, you know, I've met them since we were young, since we were at university. We were working in Odeon, you know, just concessions or whatever. But I see the way my life has been, you know, I'm lucky. I'm just lucky, right? I'm not going to say, I was smarter or whatever. It's just that they settled for certain jobs and I didn't. I was like, nah, I'm not going to settle for a job for the next 5 years doing the same. I can't. I have to do something entrepreneurial. I have to do different stuff at the same time. And I see them now. I'll be like, dog, you do not want to wake up 10 years from now still in the same position. Go talk to your boss. Because, you know, us boys, we meet up every weekend and we chill in someone's house. You know, everybody's relaxed. And then someone be like, yo, how was the position? How is this? And he's like, bro, this guy's doing this. I've done all, everything here, but they're not respecting me. Go get that respect.
Yep.
You know, go. You will burn out. Exactly. Go talk to your boss. You're doing more than what you should be doing. You're taking extra steps. You're way more valuable than they give you credit for. You got to go and step up. You got to tell them that, because the alternative, find a different job. You got to give yourself that respect, man. You got to, you know, like you said, if you don't, you do not want to wake up 15 years later shouting at your wife. You know what I mean? Because you're not, you know, satisfied what, you know, with your decisions.
The piece about, you know, taking it home, it's really important.
Yeah,
and
dude.
There's so much evidence around this. And, you know, I've seen it in my family and friends.
Mm.
People who aren't happy at work aren't happy at home. They take it home. Your people who are happy at work are better parents. The evidence is out there. Simon Sinek talks about it all the time. It's big. Mm. And so for me, I think my journey kind of made me want to help people with mental health. But it just didn't feel like it was the thing.
Right.
So, and I didn't feel I wanted to go quite specifically down that route. But when I realized that we're all in the middle of mental health and how easily living out of alignment with yourself can, you know, kick you back.
Yeah.
I realized, okay, fine. This is my way of helping people with their mental health.
There's that difficult transition, isn't there? When you start your career, often you're the maker in the company, and then you slowly transition to being the manager of the people making the things.
Mm.
We don't get trained much to be managers. I wonder if that was slightly what you went through when you were teaching, and you probably loved the classroom side of things. But when you had to do the management side, that wasn't so much what you wanted. You probably loved the money, but it wasn't so much what you wanted to do. You weren't fulfilled. I find that with me, that I'm very much hands-on. I love editing. I love creating and love making videos. But you asked me to manage people. It's like, nah, can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I'm not a manager.
Yeah.
I'm more a maker, if you like.
Yeah.
I suppose that's a hard transition for some people to make as they go through their career.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great point. And for me, I loved managing. And then when I got kind of headhunted to be a senior manager, I could see it was going to be a lot more strategic.
Mm.
And, you know, just that one step further away from the action. But I don't know, chasing the template or something egotistical, saw the title and the salary and, you know, just went for it. But
you might get a nice corner office with a nice view.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't have any friends or colleagues because you've gone so high. You're like, oh,
yeah.
this is it.
And then there's a lockdown and you've lost the office.
Jeez, that's, I bet you that changed a lot of people's plans and stuff like that. Man, you're making a lot of sense. I think I've learned a lot in here. I'm sure Steve learned a lot about, you know, how to spot it, how to spot things, the importance of taking action and to actually trying to align yourself with your values within your career. I see, you know what? It's not a rare topic, you know, but it's great to speak to someone who's actually doing this for a career and helping people to realize that. And like you said, it's not mental health. Not because you're feeling anxiety or depression, it's not always mental health. Mm. You do not need to go spend money on a psychiatrist or therapist or drugs. Do not touch drugs, my friend. You know what I mean? Talk to a coach. Talk to him. You know, you guys do free consultation. First free consultation. So that's very important to know that, listen, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just, you know, things are not aligned. That's all it is.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think it can take you down that path.
Mm.
But yeah, it's about, for me, I'm working with the people who've picked up on it.
Yeah.
And are serious.
Yeah.
Seriously want to make the change and do the work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if people want to find you, where do they go?
Easiest way, all of my contact details are on my website, which is sunnypatelcoaching.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just Coach Sunny Patel on LinkedIn and Instagram.
Awesome, man. So people, DM him, get in touch. If you can relate to what we've been talking about today, man, I think Sunny can help you out. We're definitely going to have a chat with him after this. So you should too. Every link is in the description. Thank you so much for listening to us. Sunny, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks. Yeah.
Appreciate
amazing
it.
Place you've got here as well.
Thank you so much. And yeah, thank you, Steve, for always being a sick co-host.
It's fine. Yeah, pleasure.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, easy. Thank you so much for listening to us. We've been London Media Lounge, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace and love, baby.